Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there. Welcome to Oaktown Boys, season 3, episode 19, post-All-Star break. Feels like a reset.
I feel rejuvenated.
Feels like a new year.
That's right. We've got a brand new squad, and it's going to be a different story.
There have some changes have been made, as I'm sure all of you listening are aware, but we will definitely get to it.
That's right.
But first, what happened?
Let's discuss the wonderful series versus the Red Sox.
We got swept. But we both, it's interesting, we both were lamenting, I guess not lamenting, lamenting is not the right word, observing that it didn't get me as upset as a sweep normally would for some reason.
We realized that sweeps are so common that it's just not that big a deal.
There's levels
and
to sweeps.
We didn't get destroyed. You know, there's one truly terrible game.
Yeah, game two was pretty bad. But, so that's interesting. You know, that's an interesting thing. Like, you find out that there's types of losing. Losing isn't all the same.
Yeah, we didn't walk 15 guys, which we might have done earlier this year. We didn't give up more than 10 runs.
Yeah.
Not bad. We scored in every game. We didn't get perfected.
It's true. Yeah, we have hit some lows recently. So, and none of them happened during this series.
Is that a term? Getting perfected?
Getting perfected.
Did I just...
I think I coined it?
Do you think it's good?
I haven't heard it before.
I'm not sure. We'll perfect it, and I hope it never happens again.
Yeah, I hope we never have to use it. So, but anyway, game one, lost 7-3. Sam Long opened for Medina. Sam Long was not very good. Gave up 3 runs and 1 plus, I think.
It was a bummer for sure.
It was a bummer. Medina came in. And was better than Sam. He was better than Sam Long. I mean, he was fine, honestly. I'll talk more about this later, but I think he ended up giving up, 4 runs over 6 innings?
You know what pissed me off the most is I had Jaron Duran going, and Sam Long struck him out.
Everybody else was hitting frozen ropes off of him. Duran struck out. But anyway, Seth Brown homered, which was cool. Offense was really nothing doing other than that. Lost. You know, not much to say about it, really. Pretty uneventful game.
Double from Blade and Langoliers.
Yeah, but just a loss. Little 7-3 loss. Nothing crazy. But like I said, mostly my takeaway is obviously anytime Seth Brown homers, it's cool. And Medina is definitely making progress.
The next game was the doozy. Not so hot.
Yes.
Not so hot at all.
Bullpen game.
Yeah, Verdugo homered in the first inning, 3-run shot. Jaron Duran, my boy, not really, but he homered with 2 on in the 5th inning. So 2 3-run home runs, or no, that's not right. They both had 2 outs at the time, but they both had 1 on 2-run shots. Mm. Not quite as bad, but still not good.
Yeah, it's bad when there's 2 of them.
Yep, and just a pretty good day at the plate for the Red Sox. 3 hits by Arroyo, 2 hits by Cassis. On top of those home runs, 2 hits from Yoshida. Yeah. Duran had a great day for me at the plate.
He did.
3 hits, including that home run and a double.
Just nobody could find it. Nobody could find it out of the A's. It was all bullpen guys, and nobody had Pruitt opened, I think. And then it was just
Urseg had another kind of crappy day. Struck out four through two, but gave up three runs. Fujinami, though, one inning, didn't give up anything except that's one true. Hit, one K.
That's true. He was the shining star.
Oh, and we had Felipe pitch. Who is Felipe? Not entirely sure. Angel Felipe. Angel Felipe. Yeah, and some guy that used to pitch for the Padres organization and
newly
is now,
acquired, I believe.
Now in Oakland Athletics. So good.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Yes. Welcome to the club.
Game three.
JP Sears was sick. JP Sears again was very, very good. Only got through five, which is a little bit unfortunate, because Paul Blackburn came in out of the bullpen and kind of stunk it up, blew the whole thing. I think he gave up, what, three runs in one inning?
A weird blown save for Blackburn.
Yeah, Paul Blackburn. And then Waldichuk came in and wasn't very good either.
Yeah.
And Fuji, again, scoreless.
Fuji again. He lowered his ERA to 9.
I know. 3-digit. He's got a three-digit ERA. That's what we're
the
talking about.
The day included a home run from All-Star Brent Rooker.
And two other hits also.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 3-for-3. A 3-for-3 day with a home run.
As we will discuss a little bit more, he's hot.
He is hot.
He's very hot.
But yeah, so this was, I thought they might win. Honestly, there were a couple points where I was pretty sure we were going to win this game and then we lost. But I think this game is maybe why I felt like we didn't get swept, because this game was like pretty good.
Maybe.
This
game was... Maybe. Yoshida hit a go-ahead shot off Waldichuk.
Ken Waldichuk, man.
In the eighth, and that was the ball game.
That's all it took, and then we were into the All-Star break. And speaking of Brent Rooker going 3-for-3 in home ring, Brent Rooker is our All-Star, and he smoked a double in the All-Star game. Absolutely. When he hit it, I thought it was a homer, honestly. And it turned out, I think I was being a little bit excitable, because it turned out to, like, it wasn't really, like, super close to being a homer, but it was, like, over the right fielder's head. He did really get a hold of it.
I took the opposite perspective. I thought maybe it was a weak fly ball, or maybe, like, a gapper, but not that deep. And it was, yeah, great. Great hit by Brent Rooker. I think I saw somewhere it had been since the 80s, maybe, since the A's had an All-Star hit a double in the All-Star game.
Yeah. So, Brent Rooker showing up, showing out for the A's.
Wasn't it an RBI double? I think it might have been.
He might have scored.
Something about it scored a run, I believe.
Produced a run. Producing
and
runs.
They all ended up losing. Or winning? No.
Losing. Yeah.
Losing for the first time in like 9 years, yeah. Which is kind of
All-Star Game MVP, LSD. Hit a go-ahead homer.
We have previously said you should pick him up in fantasy baseball.
Yeah, you guys should listen to us. You know, you would have had the All-Star Game MVP on your roster.
Brent Rooker has been hot lately.
He has been very hot. And it's interesting, like, I hope we keep him around, because I think we probably have our arbitration on him for at least, there's probably some team control in there. And he's been fine, and we've been kind of getting fleeced in trades recently, so I really don't want to trade him.
That's right. He was cold. He was ice cold. Over the last 28 days, he's got a 189 batting average, 650 OPS. That's a...
Not good.
Not so good. Basically, like a... What is this SOPS? Relative league splits. Okay, I like it. He's got a SOPS plus of 76 over the last 28 days. Last 14 days, up to 308 average.
Which is better than 75.
1.098 OPS. Good for 189 on the OPS plus scale.
Yeah, that's 30 plate appearances. That's not insignificant. So that's a...
No.
We'll take that.
Not 2 weeks.
We'll take that.
Last 7 days, 280 OPS. That is godly.
Yes.
Including a 909 slugging.
Yes. The slugging, you know, Brent Rooker has definitely shown the ability to get his slugging percentage like over 1,000 for stretches of time.
Now, it doesn't need to be mentioned, is due to the All-Star break, the last 7 days is only 3 games. So, yeah, it's very small sample size.
Yeah, but
he's crushing. He's back, and yes. There was definitely a few weeks where I was slightly worried that he was a flash in the pan, and I think he's going to have a fairly solid career. I see a Mark Canna-esque career.
I agree. He's definitely better than I thought he was going to be. And we were optimistic.
Absolutely.
We were optimistic, and this is better than I would have expected. You know? So that's... We got love from Brent Rooker. You know, and if he's streaky, he's streaky. That's fine. If it ends up in 33 homers, great. You know, like all that really matters is what the numbers look like at the end of the year, because that's what you did. You know, like if we, I think one of the big problems is that we just don't have that many other players that can get that hot on our team. So it's like when he's not hot, you know, nobody's really hitting that well. So that's why it stands out so much when he goes cold, because it's like, eh, you know, well, we got nothing going on if he's not hot.
So ain't that the truth?
Which kind of, I feel like, leads into our other topic pretty well. We call it the half. We call it the first half of the season. It's not half.
It's like, but 0.57.
What are some biggest takeaways? What? Let's start with the bad first. What's gone worse than we thought?
This is completely off the top. We're not looking at stats.
Yeah.
Just the pitching at the beginning of the season was terrible. It was maybe some of the worst pitching we've ever had to watch as A's fans.
It's some of the worst pitching I think there's ever been.
It's possible.
Really. Especially like sustained, continuing to throw those guys out there regardless of results. Like, I think that was, it was like jarring.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the team was on track to be the worst team ever at points. So over the past month or so, I mean, the pitching looks pretty good most of the time. 60%, 70% of the time. It's tough
because comparatively it looks amazing.
They're still giving up too many runs. They're still the lockdown closer type person has not emerged at all.
And it's not due to lack of opportunity. You know, like if someone really wanted to take that role, they could just go ahead and grab it. You know, they could just do it. But I think overall, it's been a pretty bad year. Pretty bad year.
And the way things are going lately, I could conceivably see this team making a push for a 500 second half. You know, achieving a 500 season, but a 500 second half.
I mean, even like a 400 second half would be so much better than what we watched for the majority of this season. You know, like, let's start with some series wins. You know, like, maybe it's get like 3 series wins a month.
Or what if we got 4
series wins a month?
4 series wins in a row at one point.
That'd be cool. But I think, stuff that's gone bad, most of the stuff. Stuff that's gone worse than we expected it to, honestly, most of the stuff. Our expectations were low, but damn, they were not this low.
The only things that I can think of that have gone well this year, and one of them has since gone quite terribly, actually. Mason Miller was amazing.
The situation
has not turned out so great because he's on the injury list with a very questionable injury that could maybe lead to Tommy John, and we do not want that.
Right.
But then you got Brent Rooker, who we've discussed. Ryan Noda has been great. I think any Major League Baseball team would look at that guy and what he's done this year and say he belongs on our squad.
Like, yes.
He's got a 127 OPS plus. He's playing what looks like decent defense. Off the top of my head, I don't know what his metrics say.
Me neither. But for a rookie?
His plate appearances look good. He has clearly excellent plate discipline since he's leading the league in walks or something.
Yeah, and the power is there too. You know, I mean, he's second on the team in doubles.
He strikes out too much, but I don't care if you get on base at a 381 clip.
And with the plate vision that he obviously has, I feel like he is capable of cutting down on the strikeouts.
I agree. I think he has, it looks, not only is he good now, but it looks like he'll get better.
Yes, I agree. And
JP Sears is the next bright spot. He has the highest WAR on the team. He's fantasy viable, which most players on the A's, that's not the case.
Not even close.
He's just really the only starting pitcher that has carried his weight at all.
Yes.
And I don't know if he would look this good on another team, but man, he looks great on the A's.
When he looks good, he looks really, really good. So, you know, we're building towards something, hopefully, and he is one of the people that is going to be part of that something that we're building towards, which is nice. You know, that's nice to know. It's nice to know that we have at least one dude pitching the ball that's not hurt right now that might be part of the future of the A's rotation. Yep.
And it's nice to know that we fleeced the Yankees in a trade.
Yes, you got to love that. You know, you got that moral victories do exist, and that's a moral victory for sure.
Mm-hmm.
How
do we miss this real quickly? All-Star Game, A's fans protest. There was some chanting of sell the team.
It was you could hear it on TV.
I think a lot of people wanted to tell us to be disappointed because it wasn't as clearly recognized as it was during the A's boycott in Oakland. But I take the other approach. This was the All-Star game. This was one of the highest levels of visibility you could possibly achieve, and they were visible.
Yeah.
And they made themselves known multiple times.
I think it's gotten to the point where there's a little bit of smoke. You know, like, if people are paying attention to baseball, then you know that something's going on. And this definitely got those people's attention. You know? So, like, I think it was a good showing. I think it's the best you can do on a national stage that's run by baseball, who doesn't want anything to make it on there, I'm sure. It made it on there.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's my moment of the week also, is at the All-Star game, the mayor of Oakland flew to Seattle to show Rob Manfred that there actually is a deal in place in Oakland, pretty much ready to go.
Yeah.
And that everything Dave Cavill and John Fisher say are lies. Yes. So that was very ballsy on her part, and I just have mad respect for that woman.
Yeah, we appreciate it so much. Like, that's because that's kind of the point that it's at. It's just, there, people are just lying. They're just, you know, just like telling lies about the situation. And you can't stand for that, you know. We'll see. You know, I mean, Kevin Johnson had to do a lot of work to keep the Kings in Sacramento, for sure.
And it was a move right out of his playbook.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if it works out.
I'm just glad that she's doing something. So I agree. Thank you, Mayor Shang Tao. We appreciate it.
Everyone that's trying to keep the A's in Oakland is a friend of this podcast, and she is definitely on that list.
That's right. Dan, your moment of the week in A's land?
My moment of the week was, strangely enough, Luis Medina battling through six.
He looked pretty good at times.
After Long looked bad. And, you know, I feel like it's tough for a young guy to come in against a lineup that has already gotten a good look at a guy who's not pitching well, you know, because then they're feeling good. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they've gotten a bunch of good swings off against Sam Long. So they, you know, like, a lot of them are coming up for their second at bat, having like smoked a ball in their first at bat. So Medina, yeah, like I said, like, I think he struck out like 7 or 8, right? Like, he was looking pretty good.
I think it was 6.
But Luis Medina's continued progress despite occasional speed bumps. And it was
9.
He struck out 9.
Fudge. There's a 6 innings pitch.
Yeah. And so we'll take 9 strikeouts. 9 strikeouts, 1 walk.
Absolutely.
Luis Medina. Luis Medina is my bright spot for sure.
Beautiful.
Okay, we got a look back here, huh? Let's see.
Relief pitcher. Started with the Oakland A's in 2004, age 23. Put up a couple of bad years of gaudy numbers and very minimal games pitched. But started to turn things around 2007, blossomed into a pretty darn good bullpen piece for the San Francisco Giants in 2010, where he went on to win 3 World Series rings. Played with them until 2016, till age 35, then came back to Oakland for 2 years, 2017 and 18, which were actually pretty competitive. One of them was a pretty competitive season for the A's, and he pitched in 26 games. Did pretty good. Had a 1.33 ERA plus. Any ideas, Dan? Do you need any hints?
I will take a hint, yes.
When he first came to the big leagues, he had a different name than he did for most of his career. He was a top prospect in MVP baseball 2005. I can tell you his old name.
His old name?
I believe it was Jaime Garcia.
Oh my god. I'm so close to... I keep wanting to say Yusmeiro Petit, and I know it's not Yusmeiro Petit.
It's close. Oh man, so similar. His last name rhymes with Castillo. Well, so it sounds like Castillo.
Oh, Santiago Casilla.
There we go. Wow. Santiago Casilla. Wow. Man, got him again.
You got me again. Man, feels and good. Dude, that's
gettable.
Yeah, because I knew, man, he had 38. He had 230 save seasons for the Giants. Man, I got so... It's funny how you get stuck on someone. I was so stuck on Yusmeiro Petit. Anyway, coolest thing you saw in baseball.
So the All-Star game was actually kind of fun to watch for me at points. There was a moment where Nathan Eovaldi was pitching. He was mic'd up and he was talking to John Smoltz in the broadcast booth, like each pitch, like, should I throw a cutter away? Throws a cutter away, gets a swing miss, goes, should I do it again? John Smoltz immediately goes, oh yeah, follow that up.
Yeah.
And just, it was pretty cool hearing like two stud pitchers talking shop.
Like go through the process of striking a batter out.
And I think it's the best they've done that in the All-Star game. They've kind of tried it at times and it really worked this year.
Yeah, and it was funny when Juan Soto was mic'd up when Rooker doubled.
Totally.
And he was like, yeah, he hit that pretty hard. And he was like, yeah, he totally did. My coolest thing was Julio Rodriguez had a 41 homer round in the home run derby. Mm-hmm. He didn't end up winning the home run derby. Shout out Vladdy Guerrero.
Young Vlad.
But yeah, 41 homer round is very exciting. And it was in Seattle. It was an electric moment. It was a very, very electric moment. And Julio Rodriguez, he's on my fantasy team, and he's stolen a bunch of bags, but he hasn't hit that many homers. So hopefully this got him locked in on the homer swing.
He seems like the type of guy where that might be happening.
Well, and I also feel like sometimes it's the other way. People are hitting tons of homers, and then they're in the home run derby, and then they like lose their home run swing. He hasn't had a home run swing, really. Yeah, so hopefully it's the other way around.
Give it a shot.
You know? So yeah, that was pretty cool. Fantasy. Fantasy face-off.
Weird fantasy face-off. There was basically 1 to 2 games, maybe 3 max for each of these players.
Yeah.
I did terribly. Sonny Gray got me 3.3. Anthony Rizzo got me 9.7. Dan did quite great. Bailey Ober, 20.9. Mickey Moniak, 27.7. So that's an obvious win for Dan.
I'll take the W on that one for sure. That's exciting.
Next.
I feel like I lost maybe 2 weeks in a row, so that's a nice little bounce back.
What are you doing moving forward?
I am going to go with Francisco Lindor, who's been pretty hot for the Medis, and Sandy Alcantara, because I need him to really... I think he had a good start, either last start or the start before that, and for fantasy purposes, I really need him to lock in.
Man, that's an interesting trade target right there,
so
fantasy-wise. Don't think the A's are trading for Sandy Alcantara.
No, I don't think so either.
But if they did, I wouldn't mind. Mine are Josh Jung, who is totally flown under the radar, but is having a great season.
And is part of a strong lineup, which helps.
Partially was in denial that the Rangers had such a good rookie. And Blake Snell, who's hot.
Absolutely. And the Padres need him to be...
To keep it going.
As good as he can possibly be, I know. Yeah, which would be sad. But, man, the Padres, what a mess. We could do a whole different podcast on that.
A's fans, you know... We do have the worst season of anybody. Let's be real.
Record-wise, for sure.
But our expectations versus on-field, our expectations versus the reality is pretty similar to, you know, it's what we thought it would be.
Yeah.
But for the Mets and the Padres. Oof.
Yeah. Oof. Well, and also, I feel like it's worst. White Sox. Worst season is tough because we have, like I said, we have the worst record. I don't know if we're... We have the worst record. I don't know if we're having the most disappointing season.
The Royals are having a really disappointing season. Yeah. They thought they were out of their
and they're thing. Not much better than us.
No.
You know?
Just as bad, basically.
So, doing a little bit shorter, because we got some things that we got to do. But yeah, I mean, and also there weren't that many games, actually.
Did we mention Soderstrom and Zach Galifianakis?
Oh, yeah, Soderstrom and Galifianakis got called up.
This was supposed to be part of the second half prediction. Just, they're coming up. We got Freddie Tarnock coming back. Lawrence Butler.
Up to AAA. A couple
other guys are moving up to AAA. Like, the gears are moving. We might see a decent club tape shape on the field soon.
And yeah, we're definitely going to find out about some prospects, which is always exciting.
Yeah, it's always fun. I mean,
because that you forget, that's the fun part of losing. You get to look at the young guys.
Yep.
And here come the young guys.
Here they come, baby.
And for fantasy purposes, Soderstrom right now is catcher, first base eligible, and Gelof is second base eligible, but I think we'll probably play some third.
I hope so, yeah.
And he's only got to play, you only got to play, what, like 10 or 15 games before you're eligible for a position in fantasy? So Gelof, I wouldn't not be surprised, ends up third base eligible at some point. And both of them, if you need those positions, definitely take a roll. Roll the dice on both of them, because I think they're both going
to
be playing.
I was tempted to take Gelof, but I don't really need to pick up a second baseman only right now.
Right. Alrighty. Well, that's all we got for you this week. Well, what do we have coming up?
We got baseball. Man, this week was kind of boring, huh?
It was kind of boring. We got the Twins.
Three at home against the Twins.
And then we're playing the Red Sox again.
The Sox. Four at home against the Astros. Let's win these three. And then we got another interesting thing happening in San Francisco. Another boycott going on the 26th, I believe.
Shout out Giants fans, honestly, because a lot of people have been buying into that. And it's been very... the camaraderie has been strong.
Yep.
Yeah, look, we'll talk more about that probably next episode as it gets a little bit closer. But that's happening. Two-gamer against the Giants, which we should totally sweep, by the way.
We should.
But anyway. Alrighty, we will talk to you next week. And in the meantime, go A's. Bye-bye.